I want to talk to you this morning about a comma. I want to talk to you this morning about the art of writing and that comma that is so important. Of course, for us in writing, the comma represents a pause. For us in Christianity, way too often, it seems that we mistake the comma, the pause, for a period. Or I'm looking at it and I think, you know, which side of the comma are you living on? And then the more I thought about which side, whether you're on the left side of the comma or the right side of the comma, we need to pay attention to the comma, because I now understand some of us are stuck on the comma. We're not on the left, we're not on the right. We've stuck right there on that little mark with the tail on it, that comma. We have paused for so many years that we have made the comma into a period. Like, well, that's the end for us. Piece of advice, Christian, understanding the grace of Almighty God. You are created in the image of God. You are important to God. You are a family member. And God pays attention to the family members. Many times you will hear, especially the Apostle Paul say, especially those of the faith. Especially those of the faith. And God said, pay attention to your life, that you don't get stuck on the comma. Life is going to come. We have good days and we have bad days. Older you get, you're counting more bad days than you are good. Then the older you get than that, you're counting the days to worry if a day is going to be wonderful. Only a Christian can do that. My body's wearing out. Now, I've looked at a lot of you all. You're not doing too hot either. God said, I'm going to give it to you for a while. But when I tell you to pause, I want you to pause. Pause and prepare. Pause in prayer. Pause for a purpose. But whatever you do not stop. You keep going. Though the words hurt, though the threats are great, though the evil is rampant, you keep going anyway. Though you're shaking, though you're trembling, though you think within your heart you have no idea what's going to happen, redirect that thinking to your spirit. You know, you still don't know what's happening, but I know the one who does. If I'm going around that curve by his direction, I'm not sweating what's around that curve. God said, pay attention. So let's look at the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. Now, you've got to have a little history there. The Corinthian church was about as corrupt as our federal government. I mean, it was corrupt. There was everything going on in the church. Prostitution at the altar. I mean, if you could think of it, it was going on. Paul comes in, and it's like a tiger with his tail in the trap, squealing and yelling, and saying, get it together. Interesting, though, at no time did Paul ever tell them they were not saved. As a matter of fact, he said, you act like the heathens. And then he stretches out and said, you even worse than they are. And then he says, this, brethren, this ought not be. Brethren, this ought not be. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9. We are hard pressed. I guess so. You've been beat as many times as he was. Thrown in jail. That was shipwrecked. I mean, this guy had been through it. We are hard pressed on every side, comma. Now, if I stay on the left side of that comma, I'm going to live in a hard-pressed situation in my life. Because to me then, to live on the left side of that comma simply means there's a period there. So we are hard-pressed on every side. And people give up. They said there's no hope. Well, you got to read past the comma. You just pause and then you listen. But not crushed. We're hard-pressed. They're pushing down on us. But that pressure can't crush us. We're not crushed. We just pressed. Sometimes a little pressure, folks, goes a long way to straighten us out. And we sure need some straightening out. God said, pay attention. Paul, you tell them how hard-pressed you've been. Well, the word was everywhere. Here comes the Apostle Paul. Let's go out there and see who's going to hit him with the first rock. You tell me that you don't think that happened? You have people today that love to see harm come to individuals. You know, I hope they go out and break a leg. And they weren't even going on stage. I want them, you know, Lord, just, you know, don't kill them with lightning. Just zap them with about 110 volts. You know, Lord, I want them to feel the sting that I'm feeling. And the Lord says, no, you don't. Because I'm going to take away the sting of your death. I'm going to take away the power of the grave. I'm going to make certain that you look past the comma and you understand you're not crushed. Some of us need a little flattening out. And a preacher can't get that way with all the peanut butter fudge. But you keep it coming. Pressed. Pressed on every side. Have you ever felt like the world's against you and everybody in your family's against you? Nobody likes you. Everybody hates you. But not crushed. Perplexed. Man, I am perplexed, but not in despair. I'm overwhelmed, but I'm not in despair. I went to the right of the comma. I looked to the truth of the word. God says, here's the life you're living. But read the whole story. And don't you dare stop. A comma means to pause, think, consider, and keep going. What a comma. You do know there were no punctuation marks in Scripture until I think it was the 15th century. Now we need to pause. Because it's obvious God's children don't get it either way. Without the punctuation, evil continued. With the punctuation, evil continued. But here's the great evil, the greatest of all. That's why God hates it. It hurts His children. It hurts His children. There's no father that wants to see their child in distress, hurting from within, much less our Heavenly Father. He said, just take a little pause. That's why He tells preachers to take breaks. Most of us are too hard-headed to do it. But take a break, take a pause, get away. But Lord, what if everything caves in while I'm away? Not doing too hot with you there, Larry. Think of it. God says, in my church, my people, I'll take care of the situation. You preach my word. Just don't lose your mind in the process. Do you know that when Paul was on trial, what he's accused of? Paul, all your great learning has made you insane. And Paul comes back. I think that was Felix. And Paul comes back to him and says, maybe so. If that's true, I wished you and everybody else could be as crazy as I am, except for these chains. Woo! Think of that. You know, he didn't even pause very long on that one. Apostle Paul had a comeback, and he had it quick. You know why? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. God had given him a message. And all hell cannot keep God's message away. Nothing can keep you from hearing God's word. Well, I'll put you in solitary. You can't put me in solitary. I'm a Christian. Me and the Lord will be talking. I'm talking driving down the highway. Glory to the Lord. And any of my friends drive by, I hope they think it's the phone. Because Larry has really lost it this time. Think of it. But not perplexed. Or perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Woo! Persecuted, but not abandoned. Go ahead. Lock me up for hate speech when I say, Jesus, there's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved than His glorious name, Jesus, the Son of the living God. Lock me up. Because there's a prayer meeting coming in that cell. Because folks, God says it is time. You've been quiet long enough, preacher. It's time. For your brethren are dying. They're cutting their heads off throughout the world just because they refuse to renounce the name of my Son. And you in America, you worry about a football game. The world is starving for the truth of God. And we worry about proper speech. We worry about don't say anything too rough. You ever been in combat? There's nothing politically correct there. Any veteran will tell you, combat is not politically correct. And every man and woman that goes there are trained to do one thing. Kill. Kill the enemy. Some will spend a lifetime in that training. They will get out, they'll come home, and then all of a sudden they're told, don't kill anymore. We want you to just be a part in society. That's good. Let us be a part in society. But you need to understand that those men and women were ready to give their life. And folks, there is none of us that have ever been in combat that is not broken. Every one of us are messed up. But you only pause at the comma. You keep going. Maybe I am flattened out and crushed just a little bit in my thinking. Perhaps I'm perplexed. Good gracious, who would not be perplexed looking at what's going on? But not in despair. How can I be in despair? I know Jesus. I know the one that holds the keys to heaven and hell. I know Him. But you know what's better? He knows me. He knows my name. I'm not going to have to be introduced. He knows me. Oh, Larry Pete, you know, I'm glad to go ahead and get you up here so you wouldn't make any more messes. Is that not what our loving fathers would say to us? Come on, kid. I love you. I'll protect you. Persecuted but not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed. Go ahead and knock me down. You could do that. I had a corporal in the Marine Corps right out of boot camp. I smarted off. In those days, you didn't do that. And I couldn't wear a little tag that says that I'm fragile. Don't yell at me. And when I did, he hit me upside the head, knocked me into a wall locker, and I hit the concrete floor. He said, get up. I got up. He hit me again, knocked me in a wall locker, and I hit the concrete floor. He said, get up. I got up. He hit me again. I hit the wall locker and hit the concrete floor. He said, get up. And I said, I ain't doing it. No. I knew what was going to come. That corporal became my best friend. I guess you could say he knocked a little sense into me. Wasn't too smart the first three times. But you see, Christian, you're going to be knocked upside the head. Maybe you don't even hit the wall locker. You're going to hit the concrete floor. Jesus said, I'm coming. Don't you worry, Larry. I'm coming. I'll pick you up. I'll stand between you and my enemy. I'll do the fighting. Christians, you and I have been given a great and awesome honor. We have been given the privilege to live for the Lord in all His greatness, in all His glory. And He says, I'll give you the wealth. There's nobody in the United States of America that knows what poverty is, unless it's through adult evil intent. The greatest nation that's ever been known, coming down to our knees because of our own greed, own arrogance. The Lord said, Christian, they don't knock you down, but you need to understand, you're not destroyed. Pause. Take a look at life. Pause. Take time to check out what the next thought in your mind, the next action is going to be. Pause. But don't you dare stop. You keep going. Now, here's the right side of the comma. You ready for it? Here are the facts about being on the right side of the comma. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Doesn't mean you're working your way to heaven. It means you and I were given the privilege of being born. Born of water, born of woman. You can only enter heaven if you're born of water and of woman. You got to be a human being to have such grace. So therefore, this life is achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs anything on the left side of the comma. That was my addition for the listeners. Pay attention to it. So we stare. Did you ever fix your eyes on something? Yeah, the games are this afternoon, aren't they? You're going to be fixed your eyes on the game. Nobody better walk between you and that tube. Nobody. Because what if a play was made and you missed it? What if Jesus comes and you miss Him? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. But now listen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, these bodies are temporary. And as I say, the older you get, the more thankful you are for that. Lord, we're getting ready for a new model. Do you know that your new body is personally designed just like your old one was? Your old body was designed by God to live here on planet Earth, and to serve Him, and to enjoy what He gives. He said, I give it to you. I give you eternal life. I give you grace. I give you love. I didn't earn anything. I have never pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. God says, listen, you give yourself to me, and I got you. Folks, I can only pause at the comma. I refuse to stop. That comma, the Lord took breaks. If you walked around with the 12 He had to walk around with, I guarantee you, you'd take breaks. Hard-headed men, be at peace, my friends. That's what He wants to give you. The hell you're going through, you're developing in your own mind. Jesus goes beyond your mind to what is eternal. And you know it don't get better, Nan. Let's just pray. Father, we thank You for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for the peace that only You can give us. Lord, touch our heart, our spirit. Revive us again for Your glory. Help us to pause shortly, but to resume. Resume the walk, the march that You've called us to. Give us the strength, the courage, and a whole boldness as You wholly set aside each one of Your children for Your purpose. We ask that blessing now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.